Welcome to the SMART OB-Med curriculum. Social media for advancing residency training in obstetric medicine. We here present to you a national collaboration between the Universities of Ottawa and Alberta. This research project has been generously funded by the Department of Medicine at the Montfort Hospital, empowering future physicians in the care of medically complex pregnancies. We hope you will enjoy it.
Welcome to our Advanced Learner Series. We are joined by two panel experts today to discuss our case. So first is Dr. Alan Karavich. He's been working at the Ottawa Hospital for about 30 years. He's an obstetrics medicine and internal medicine specialist with an interest also in thrombosis. So welcome. And we also have Dr. Karen Wong, who is a maternal fetal medicine specialist at the Ottawa Hospital and assistant professor at the University of Ottawa. Dr. Karen Wong received her medical degree at the University of Toronto and completed obstetrics medicine residency and master's in clinical epidemiology at Memorial University in Newfoundland, Labrador, and completed her fellowship in maternal fetal medicine at the University of Ottawa. Special interests include medical disorders of pregnancy and alloimmunization. So welcome to both of you. So we'll go right into our case. So this is a 30-year-old female, G1 at 26 weeks. She presented to obstetrics triage with 1 week of fevers and malaise, as well as nausea and vomiting that progressively worsened, which was what led to the presentation. There was also some associated right upper quadrant pain. Relevant on the history was travel to the Dominican Republic 3 weeks prior, as well at that time she ate street food at one time. Otherwise healthy and on prenatal vitamins during pregnancy. Blood pressure was normal, no tachycardia, afebrile. Lab work revealed elevated liver enzymes, so AST was 572, ALT was 1,200, ALP 160, and GGT 80. The total bilirubin was elevated at 61, with the direct being 54, INR was 1.2, lipase normal, creatinine 32, hemoglobin 109. So we might start with Dr. Karavich. How would you approach this patient, and what investigations would you send?
So she's presenting with significant hepatocellular abnormalities, not our usual. And like everything in medicine, I think about specific obstetric causes and non-obstetric causes. So the three big things in obstetrics for liver dysfunction would be cholestasis of pregnancy, which would not fit with this story, and those elevated enzymes. Acute fatty liver of pregnancy, which you need to think about when LFTs are so elevated, but it's usually quite clear a concomitant liver dysfunction. Although her bilirubin's high, they often have a coagulopathy, they often hypoglycemic, and they often have very severe symptomatology. And it's usually, I can't remember what gestational age you said, but it's usually quite a bit later in the pregnancy, well into the third trimester. And the other thing is preeclampsia and HELLP syndrome. That would be very high LFTs for that, but it's possible. But I would want to see in that case very clear evidence of a preeclampsia, a high blood pressure, urine PCR. So I would think about those things, but I'd think about other non-pregnancy related things. So things that cause acute hepatitis are infections. She traveled to the Dominican Republic. I'd be worried about Hep A. Hep B can cause acute hepatitis. Hep C usually doesn't, but I would screen for those things anyways. And you should screen for other things that cause acute hepatitis. So often what we do is the whole liver panel, but to be honest, a lot of those things don't cause acute hepatitis. Most people will order an alpha-1 antitrypsin, but that doesn't cause acute hepatitis. But you should think about autoimmune hepatitis and other things. And you should look at obstructive stuff. Her picture is not quite consistent with obstructive, but clearly she needs a liver ultrasound to look at the anatomy.
So as if you read our minds, so most of those things were done, including the alpha-1 antitrypsin. So the Tylenol levels were normal. I assumed, yeah. ANA, anti-smooth muscle, immunoglobulin, ceruloplasmin, alpha-1 antitrypsin, everything normal. Hepatitis A, IgM was positive. Hepatitis B and C, negative, E negative. CMV, IgG was positive, and EBV, IgM was positive. Ultrasound of the liver was checked and it had normal architecture. The CBD was in normal limits and there was no hepatic or portal vein clots. Bile acids were ordered. They came back at 185 and she was offered supportive care. So given these results, in this case, what are your thoughts about the elevated etiology of the elevated bile acids?
Well, I would assume that she's Hep A, acute Hep A. You didn't tell us how high the IgM titer was, but I assume it's pretty high. The EBV is kind of a very nonspecific finding and might be concomitant. And I forgot to mention Hep E in pregnancy. That should obviously be screened for as well, and it was negative. So I'm going to assume this is acute hepatitis A. I would not have ordered bile acids. There's nothing about this story that suggests cholestasis of pregnancy, but now that you have it, what do you do about that? I don't know of any literature. So all the literature on bile acids relate to ICP, cholestasis of pregnancy. We can talk about those values in a little bit and what you do. I don't know anything in the literature that talks about bile acids and other liver conditions. Do you treat it the same? Do you say, her bile acids are greater than 100. It doesn't matter why they're elevated. Is it because of the hepatitis A, or does she have concomitant ICP? It would be pretty unusual for this woman at 25 weeks, pretty early for ICP, with those type of enzymes with positive hepatitis A to also have cholestasis of pregnancy. So I'll assume it's from the Hep A. The question is, do you treat those levels like you would do in someone with ICP?
Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Wong, so what are your thoughts on delivery planning with this patient who has these elevated bile acids without actually a diagnosis of cholestasis of pregnancy at this time?
That's certainly what we're thinking about from an obstetric point of view. When we see such high bile acids, as Dr. Karavich said, it's hard to know how to interpret them, what to make of them when we don't have a diagnosis actually of intrahepatic cholestasis, and it doesn't necessarily fit that picture in either symptoms or the presentation in terms of gestational age. But I do worry about bile acids that are over 100 specifically as quite significantly increasing the risk of stillbirth for fetuses. And I think regardless of why the bile acids are up, you know, you do think about the pathophysiology of stillbirth in that context. It's not precisely known why fetuses have stillbirth in the context of high bile acids and cholestasis, but presumably due to high bile acids, I would say. And so we are delivering early for bile acids over 100. And so the recommendations from most national guidelines will be to deliver at 35 to 36 weeks for bile acids over 100.
I think that's reasonable. You'll never be able to convincingly say, don't worry about that bile acid level of 120 because it's not from ICP, so just let this ride. I mean, I think that would be a mistake, even though there's a lack of evidence you should do something. So the other thing I'll say is, and I've discussed this with colleagues, is as you treat and people's like, I'm going to assume that maybe her liver function will get better and the bile acids, do you react in terms of delivery timing on the peak bile acid levels, which was what most expert guidelines suggest? When I really question, so if in the later third trimester, this woman now has bile acids of 25, are you comfortable letting it ride, or are you going to react on what happened at 25 weeks when they were 120? And I don't know the answer to that. Most recommendations say go by the peak bile acid levels. I don't think we have any science to support that, though.
And so this is what ended up happening, is that the bile acids were noted. Obviously, sometimes there's a delay with them coming back. And then once they were noted, the patient was followed up on. And during that follow-up, it was noted that patient actually did have some pruritus that might then now be consistent with intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy. So URSO was started, and 3 weeks later after that, the bile acids were then 15. So AST and AST and ALT were still mildly elevated at this time, Billy 14, INR of 1.2, and the patient was induced at 36 plus 1 with OB, had an uneventful postpartum, normalization of bile acids, but some ongoing mild transaminitis afterwards, no, blood pressure normal. When would you be expected for this transaminitis to resolve for someone like this? Is there something immediate? How long would you expect for this to be going on?
So I'm not an expert in viral hepatitis, but I would expect over time they would improve. And in fact, the fact that they're not normal postpartum, you know, even 2-3 months later is not surprising. Her liver function's normal. The bile acids, which is probably from the Hep A, have come down dramatically. So that's reassuring as well. The LFTs have come down. It can take months for these LFTs to normalize. And I would just not do any more intervention, but I would monitor them over time.
And so, Dr. Karavich, what would you say are some key take-home points for this case discussion?
Well, your differential diagnosis, you should really remember, think about pregnancy-specific things, those three things we talked about, ICP, preeclampsia, HELLP syndrome, and acute fatty liver pregnancy. And I think acute fatty liver pregnancy particularly, you really need to go back and look at your criteria. There's well-described criteria in the literature. That might be another case to talk about. And because that is a extremely dangerous condition requiring urgent delivery and treatment. So always think about that, particularly some of that. Again, her picture didn't fit with that. And then think about other non-pregnancy stuff. Again, just the regular workup. I'm okay if you order alpha-1 antitrypsin, it'll never be abnormal, but that's okay. But
just in case.
Just in case. But the LFTs like that, her acute presentation, clearly this is acute hepatitis, so you would act on that. And as far as the bile acids, I think it's reasonable what Dr. Wong said. Maybe it doesn't matter why they have high bile acids. If they cross the placenta and somehow affect the fetus in terms of risk of IUFD, it's pretty hard to argue not against not going ahead with early delivery. I do wish there was some evidence about which bile acids you're acting on, those peaks. There she is at 120, and in a very short period of time, she's 15. Whether you act on that 120, I guess we do. It's the standard of care, but I'm not sure it's based on any science.
Although those were your take-home points, would there be any increased monitoring you would do in this patient when you notice those bile acids elevated at that particular time?
We do offer increased monitoring when we see high bile acids, particularly over 100, when there is a diagnosis of cholestasis specifically. It's one of those things that we do more for us, though. Like it's literally something that we do to make ourselves feel better because there's a high risk of stillbirth. But the stillbirth that happens as a result of cholestasis is not predictable. It is very sudden. It's not placentally mediated. This can be a normally grown baby, normal fetal assessment, normal fetal heart rate tracing, who rapidly after that can have an unexplained stillbirth. Well, explained by bile acids, I suppose.
I think the other point important, I agree, and it's so unpredictable that I think that's why the guidelines talk about these early deliveries. The other thing that we didn't mention, and maybe Karen could talk more about it, is knowing which viruses are vertically transmitted and thinking about the baby and their exposure. Hepatitis A is not, but others are, like hepatitis B. So I think you need to think about that. If you've done a liver workup, how does this affect the fetus? And do you need other people involved to think about that? Like neonates thinking about what to do for moms, things like immunoglobulins, and then treating the baby when they're born.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.